So the message this morning is called Apply Yourself. It's called Apply Yourself. And we're going to go to Luke 10. Let's go to Luke 10. Message is called Apply Yourself. And so let me say this. It is good to have knowledge, but knowledge without application is useless. I'll say it again. It is good to have knowledge, but knowledge without application is useless. So, Luke 10. Everybody there? Nobody's there? One person, maybe? Okay. Luke 10. And we're going to go to verse 25. And it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. So let me stop real quick. So it says right there on verse 25, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. See, this expert, he was a scholar. He was a well-educated and scriptured man, okay? He knew the word. He had studied it, okay? He knew the word, okay? He knew it good. So what he was doing is he was testing Jesus to see what he would say of the word. He was testing him out to see what, if he knew the word. It's funny how religious people are always trying to show you up. See, and in verse, where were we at? Let's go to verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So then again, right there, he's asking Jesus. Oh, okay, I get that. Okay. That was a good answer, Jesus. But who is my neighbor? And the way he said it was pretty condescending. It was like, okay, well, who's my neighbor, right? If this is what you say, then who's my neighbor? So there he goes again trying to show up Jesus. See, he was thinking like, I'm about to blow your mind with this question. Who is your neighbor then? Right? Now, understand this guy. This guy's a scholar. He knew his word. He had studied it. And so he's testing him out. And like I said, it's funny how religious people are always trying to show you up. If you've been around religious people enough, Christians, Catholics, whatever, they'll try to test you and see if you know and this and that. And I've had many acquaintances where I talk to different people, different pastors and things like that, and they look at me like, ah, this guy doesn't really know anything. And so they try to test me. And so they try to show up. You know, they try to show off and they're like, oh, well, this says right here. What do you think about that? And so this is what this guy was trying to do. And so this is what Jesus replied. Let's go to verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Okay, hold on. Let me tell you real quick, okay? So this man, Jesus is talking about a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It is about 17 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. So this man was walking 17 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. It is also 2,500 feet above sea level and 800 feet below sea level at the other end. This place road that he was going on is a very dangerous, rocky road. And it was, back in those days, it was called the Way of Blood. The Way of Blood, because they there was a bunch of robbers that, there was a bunch of hiding spots and different spots where people would rob you. So it was a very dangerous journey. And so it says, so they beat this man, right? They stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So this guy's trying to test Jesus. He's trying to see if he knows the scripture. He's testing him out, and Jesus puts this scenario. He puts this story. And in this story, okay, there's a priest, there's a Levite, and a Samaritan. Okay, the priest, you guys know what a priest is, right? The Levite was also a minister. He was also well educated in the law, and he taught in the ministry. So he was also kind of like a priest, you know. He was a teacher. And so here's these two religious people that see this man. He got beat up. He's left there. He got robbed, halfway dead. And they see him. And what do? They don't stop and help him. But the Samaritan, now understand this. The Samaritan was, the Jews did not like Samaritans. The Samaritans were the low class, low level, half-breeds, unclean, no good, sinful people. That's what they thought about the Samaritans. Let me bring it to you like this. A lot of religious people, when they see people like us, when they see people like you, they think, you're sinful, you're no good, and this and that, and I don't have time for you. So the priest and the Levite were too busy. They were too religious. They were too busy in their religious duties, in their religious activities, in their religious teachings, and that they couldn't even help someone in need. They were too busy being religious. You know, I had an accident when I was driving, when I was loading my truck. And my truck is a tanker, and it opens from the top, and it's a big truck, it's an 18-wheeler. It opens from the top, and then you pour the kind of, it's oil, it's liquid asphalt. You pour it in there. And what happened was, I wasn't paying attention. And I'm the guy that teaches everybody there. I'm the guy that trains everybody, that tells them all this stuff. When somebody new comes in, I train them. And here I am, I make a mistake. What ends up happening is it overfilled. It went everywhere. Now it happened so quick, I wasn't paying attention. I lost track of time. And I wasn't paying attention. And it just overflowed everywhere. And it got all on the floor. And if you ever see asphalt, when it just, I mean, it's liquid. Okay. But when it dropped on the floor, it gets real hard and sticky. And then I had to shovel all that. And it spread out so quickly, so fast. And it was impossible for me to shovel. What ended up happening, I was there for like 4 hours trying to shovel it. And I only got like one third of it in 4 hours. In those 4 hours, there were some people that came by, still from our same company, from other companies in our company. And what got me was this particular guy. That when he came in to work for us, and he said, "Oh, you're a Christian? I'm a Christian too." And then he starts telling me about all his Christianity and all this and that and this and that, right? And then when it came down to it, when I needed help and I was shoveling by myself, the guy that was supposed to be the Christian just looked at me and it's like, "Oh man, you made a mess, huh?" "Yeah." "All right. Bye." A lot of people did that. But what got to me, that guy was supposed to be a fellow Christian, right? He was supposed to be the good guy. But yet, who ended up helping me was the guy that wasn't a Christian at all. And so, but that guy was talking all this big talk, how he's a Christian, how he's this, how this, this and that, and, you know, he comes from a long line of this and this and that. And when it came down to helping somebody, he just looked the other way. We were watching the fights, and most of the time when you watch the fights, right, we were watching them yesterday, I could always tell who's going to lose. Okay? And I always pick the winners, so I just do. It happened. I only picked two people out of the fights, and the two people that I picked, they won. And one was this guy, he was talking all kinds of trash. I saw the interview. He was talking all kinds of trash to this other guy. And this other guy's like, "All right, we'll see. We'll see." And this guy's just talking all kinds of trash. Like, "Oh, I'm going to knock you out in this, this." I go, "That guy's going to lose, man. The guy that was talking all that trash, he's going to lose. Watch." He lost. So what am I saying? I'm saying, be doers. I don't want to ever get in a place that we're so religious and we talk about, "Oh yeah, the word," and I mean, you can quote a million scriptures, but if you don't apply it, it means nothing. It means nothing. I don't ever want to get to that place where we become this big church and we're all cool and we just kind of like, "Oh, we know this, we know this, we know this." But we never help nobody else. So apply yourself. Let's go to James 1, verse 22. James 1, verse 22. "So it is good to know the word." Don't get me wrong. It is good to know it. But if you don't apply it to your life, if you don't walk it, if you don't do it, then it's now. I've seen a lot of religious and a lot of religion and churches and people, and they get to a place where they come in, they get comfortable, they know a couple people, and they only talk to those couple people. We never help anybody. It's sad. And so this guy, when Jesus was telling him, this guy right here, when Jesus was telling him, was basically, "You know what? You're a religious guy. I see that. You're a religious guy. You know your word. But apply it." That's what he was telling him. Don't just study, study, study. That's good. Don't get me wrong. Read the Bible. But you must apply it. Because if you read something and don't apply it, it's useless. It's like having the best phone in the world and you don't have no applications. You don't use it for anything. Right? Why would you pay $600 for the best phone and you won't even use the internet or text or anything? You just take calls, right? I'd be kind of dumb. Because you can just get the little flip phone or a prepaid phone real cheap. So here is all the word. We have all the knowledge. You come in here, you receive it, then apply it. Amen? James 1, verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You got to say amen to that one. So what the word is saying right there, if you don't apply the word, it's kind of like you going up to a mirror, looking at the mirror, you probably say, oh, wow. I know I do. I say, that's a handsome man right there. I look in the mirror. I was like, got it going on, brother. I was like, thank you. You too. It's like, all right, cool. See you later. Yeah, you know. And so, and then you go away, right? And you forget what you look like. That would be pointless. And so God is saying, if you're hearing the word, apply it. And watch what it does. Watch how he blesses you when you apply it. Not only apply it for your life, but apply it to others, to helping others, to reaching out. I think my biggest ministry is outside when I'm outside of here. You'd be surprised how people just open up to me. Wherever I go, I meet people, and at first they look at me like I'm a hoodlum. But then when I start talking to them, and they get to know me a little bit, and they just start opening up to me. And they tell me their problems, and they tell me all their things. And the thing about it is, I do not care where I'm at. If God tells me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you right there and then. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it right there and then. I don't care if I'm at Walmart, at a Burger King, or whatever. I've done this before where I'm somewhere public and I see somebody in need. I'll tell you this story. I believe it was a Burger King in Glendale, and me and my family were there, and I saw this lady come in. She didn't have no money, okay? Now, she didn't say she didn't have no money, but I can sense it. And she asked for a cup of water, and they gave her a cup of water. She grabbed their water, went to a kind of secluded place and kind of hid herself on the corner. She got down and she was crying in the corner of a bench. And she just had water. So I looked at her and I told my wife, I got to go pray for her. And I go over there and I introduce myself and I say, can I pray for you? And she looked at me kind of like, wow. She looked at me all in shock, and she's like, yes. And I started praying for her. And then after I was done praying for her, she's like, thank you, you know, and all this and that. And she told me a little bit. And what I did was I took my wallet out, and I gave her money. She didn't ask for money. She didn't ask for prayer. But I saw it in need, and I went for it. God put it in my spirit. I asked God. Wherever I go, if I see somebody and I ask God, God, what is up with them? And God begins to reveal me. They're hurting. They need prayer. They need this. They need that. And so I try to fulfill that need. Now, there's a bunch of preachers out here, and there's a bunch of preachers everywhere in big churches and this and that and this and that. And they might look at a person like me and say, well, you're not educated. You didn't go to the biggest school. You're not backed by a big church like us. You don't have this big pastor behind you. Oh, you're too young. You're right. You're right. But I tell them this. Neither did Jesus. Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. He walked around 3 years with his ministry and did so much in those 3 years. And he didn't have the biggest education. He didn't come from the biggest scholars, the biggest teachers. He didn't come from none of that. He came straight from God, right? He was God. And so don't ever let for a second think that you cannot do whatever God tells you to do. Or don't ever let it think that you're not good enough because maybe you don't know the whole word. No, but you can apply yourself. You can apply yourself wherever you go, whatever you do, you can apply yourself. Whether you're at your job or something, you smile for somebody. Even just a little smile will lighten up somebody's day. There's been times where I go to places like Walmart. I went to Walmart the other day. I don't know what it was. It was President's Day? I don't know what it was. But it looked like a hurricane went through the whole Walmart. Oh, it was Valentine's. That's what it was. It was Valentine's because I was trying to get something for my honey, you know? And all these shelves were all crazy and just people were going nuts. And I saw this lady and she's just like running around and people are yelling at her like, I need this and this and that. And then it was my turn to go up to the cashier. I had some chocolates, big old card, and all kinds of stuff, right? And she goes, I'll be right there. I smiled at her. I go, that's fine. Take your time. And then she comes back like 20 minutes later. Okay. I was still just standing there with a smile. And I told her, and she's like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I know. It's all good. I told her. I was like, it's pretty crazy today, huh? She's like, yeah, you know, and this and that. And I go, it's all right. Just take your time, you know? And then after I was leaving, I was like, God bless you and, you know, have a great day. And, you know, and she's just surprised. Because everybody else was yelling at her to go get this and, oh, do you have this and this and that, you know? I don't like religious people. I would rather hang out with some people that are not religious than a lot of Christians because they're too religious. They're just too religious. And I'll tell you what, that's why a lot of people don't come to church. Because all these people, they look at people and they're like, oh, yeah, you're a sinner. You're doing this and you're doing that. And, you know, and they're condescending to you. And they kind of, you know, look down on you like they're at a high stool and like they're mightier than thou. But God is not like that. God is love. There's the angels running around. That's what it is right there. It's like, we got you, right? Don't worry about that. That's the angels running around. That's right. They're praising God right now. You're like, preach, brother. I don't know if they sound like that, huh? I kind of sounded like a midget there. They're not midgets, okay? They're big. Just tell your neighbor. Don't get too religious on me. Tell your neighbor. Sorry. Don't get too religious on me. You know, I get a lot of things, and people want to do this and people want to do that, and it's okay. It's okay if Christians want to hang out and everything and do this, but I would rather do something that's effective. I would rather hang out and do something, go help somebody, you know, go pray for somebody. There's been times that I meet people in the parking lot of Walmart or Fry's, and I just hand them a flyer and talk to them for a minute, and then I'm praying for them. They start crying because they're like, oh, I've been going through this and this and that. And I invite them to church, so sometimes they don't come. But you know what? I did my part. I invited them. I prayed for them. And after they left there, they felt a little better. You know? And so apply yourself. Don't just hear the word, but apply it. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. So we must put that into action. Right? We must put it into action. You know, I just got offered a big tour. I get offers from different places, and I got offered this big tour to tour all over, everywhere. And it's good. Sometimes I think about it and all this and that, and I get all these offers and things like that. And when I started this, I got a bunch of offers to go preach at different places and all this and that. But I stayed faithful to God, what God wanted to do in me. And he said, he called me here. And so I do this. Whatever God tells me to do, I will do that. I don't care about the money and the fame. Like I was telling my brother the other day, you know, I could do music videos. I could do, you know, there's a bunch of secular artists that have asked me to do their music videos and they pay me a lot of money. That's good, you know, but I tell them I can't because I got to stay true to myself and I got to stay true to what God has called me to do and what God is telling me to do. And I got to apply myself in whatever God tells me to apply myself. Whether it's a couple people here or a million people out there, it doesn't matter, because whatever God wants to do, he's going to do it. Whether it's small numbers or big numbers, I don't get caught up with that. And sometimes it irritates me when people, other religions, Christians, they call me to their churches or something, and they ask me, you know what, there's going to be tons of people. And you know what, you're going to get your name out there even more, and you could be famous over here if you come to this and this and that. It irritates me. It bothers me that they would even say that, because they don't get it. If they don't get it by now, I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about doing it to a big crowd. I don't care about making it big. That's not what I'm here for. If I was here for that, then I would have went the secular route. I had offers, money, everything. So that doesn't appeal to me. What appeals to me is doing what God tells me to do. I'm bringing down the house, man. I am bringing down the house. It's a good preaching, God. Thank you. Yeah? God's like, yeah. Bring down the walls. Watch out. So that's what I do. I do what God tells me to do. So let's not be religious. This is what I'm saying. Let's not be religious. Let's be people that intend and that apply the word. And that because you apply the word, God's going to bless you. Maybe he won't give you $1 million. And maybe the devil will offer you $1 million over here. But guess what? That $1 million comes with a price. He's going to take your soul. But Jesus has given us eternal life. He has given us everything. And sometimes he might not give you all the riches in this world right here, but he will provide every single one of your needs. And he's going to bless you. When you stay obedient to his word, he will bless you. He will work within you to help other people. And understand this, you are the walking miracle. People always pray for a miracle, but understand this, that God wants to do the miracle through you. Just like he did the miracle through this Samaritan man that people thought he was the lowest of the low. He is no good. And yet God used this man, right? He didn't see somebody in need and just pass him by. He was that blessing. To that person in need, he was that miracle, right? Because he could have died right there, but this guy was that miracle. He picked him up. He took him to a Holiday Inn and hooked him up. It says an inn. Can it say an inn? And he paid. He paid. He paid for them to help him out and everything, and for him to stay there. So he helped them. And sometimes when we get too religious and we see somebody in need and we say, oh, I'll pray for you. Or you see somebody hungry and it's like, oh, I'm going to pray for them. Don't pray for them. Get them something to eat. You are the miracle. You are that prayer. You are the answer to their prayer. Don't pray for them. Faith without works is dead. That means if you have all the faith in the world, but you don't put it into action, if you don't work at it, then it's dead. It's pointless. It's useless. Amen? I hope that this message will bless you. And understand that God wants to use you to provide miracles in other people's lives. And sometimes he's going to use you in a way of money. Sometimes he's going to use you in a way of prayer. Or sometimes you're going to have to help somebody, give somebody a ride or do something, whatever it is, but do that. Be that miracle. Apply your skills that God is putting within you. You might say, well, I don't have that much skills. I don't know much. Little you have, God will use and make it big. That's how I started. I didn't have nothing. And what little I have, I give it to God, and God uses it in a big way. Amen? So just apply yourself. I have an application of my music. I have it as a free download on my website, and people can apply it to their phone, and they can listen to all my music, watch all my videos and stuff. But get this. That application, if nobody uses it, it's pointless, right? It's pointless. It's just there for no reason. So don't be an application that doesn't work. Apply yourself. Whatever God tells you to do, just do it. Don't hesitate. Don't walk away like the Levite and the priest. So, when other two religious people see me and they're like, well, this guy, how can he be a pastor? Or this guy, how can he do this? I tell you why, because I'm a man of action. I put it into action. And a lot of times they might have paid all this money for all this stuff and all this and that and whatever. But in reality, they get jealous because they see me actually doing it. But if they would only apply themselves to all that knowledge that they have, they would do something great also. So let's apply ourselves. Amen? Let's stand up real quick. I pray that this has blessed you, and I pray that everybody who listens online, we have a lot of people online that listen to it. It amazes me sometimes. We got more people online listening than people coming here. How does that work? They're shy, man. I have some people that I know they listen online, but I call them or I go to their house and they won't open. But I know they listen because they've told me, oh, I listened to this message. I'm trying to talk to you, man. Open the door. They'll just send me a Facebook. I was like, that was a good message. It's like, why don't you come? I pray all the people that are listening online that you come. If you live around here, come. If you're far away, I understand. You know? But I pray that this blesses each and one of you guys, everybody that was here, and everybody that's going to listen to this. And just begin to apply yourself and watch what God does in your life. Just like at a job, when you apply yourself, he will elevate you to a higher place, you know? Wherever you go, just apply yourself in that, what you do. I thank you for all you guys that help out and everything that you do. I really do, because you apply yourself. You're passing out flyers, whatever, posting out flyers, everything. God will bless you. Amen? Let us pray. Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord God, and I pray that this congregation applies themselves, Lord God. You chose only 12 disciples, Lord God, to do your marvelous work. And they could have said, well, that was a little group. Yeah, it was a little group. But God, you turned it into what it is today, is the gospel that reaches the world. Those 12 people went out and they told everybody that they knew about how good God was and what he had done in their lives. So, Lord God, let these people in here be the same way, that you use them in a mighty way, that they may become great disciples, Lord God, that they may be teachers and that they may be people that will reach out and help others and do your will, Lord God. Just a few. That's all God needs, is just a few people, a few chosen people that are willing to say, yes, God, here we are. And then God takes those few and reaches the world. Yes, God. So we thank you for this awesome word, Lord God. And we want to apply ourselves in whatever you have for us, whatever you would want to do in our lives, Lord God. Reach the multitudes, Lord God. Let us reach the nations for you, Lord Jesus. Let us help our neighbors. Let us help those in need. So I pray a mighty discernment upon their lives. I pray your spirit that fills them up upon their lives, that is surrounding them, and that wherever they go, they will be called blessed, and they will bless others, whether it is in their family, in their kids, anything, in their jobs, whatever it is, that you will bless them and that they will be blessed to do your work. Yes, God, we say yes to your will. We say yes to you, and we want to apply ourselves. We thank you for your awesome word, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing here today. Doesn't matter who comes, Lord God, but we want to apply ourselves. Whether we have to stand on a corner and just do your work, Lord God, I'm willing to do it. Whatever it is, let it be your will. Your will, not mine, Lord God, but your will, not ours. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. In your precious name, amen.